Now we've arrived at the next phase of President Donald Trump's impeachment. Today, the Senate gaveled in for its trial of the president, weighing the House's two articles of impeachment. Before the trial can really begin, however, they have to resolve the logistics of how much time each side will receive to make their case, along with other ground rules for the process. Susan Johnson is an associate professor of political science at UW-Whitewater and director there of the Center for Political Science and Public Policy Research. Susan, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
We're at this process stage, which is kind of fascinating in a lot of ways. What kind of things are striking you about what kind of rules they're arguing about before we get into the trial proper?
Well, they're arguing about how long each side will have to offer their arguments and in what type of format will it be in terms of, you know, how compressed will it be in terms of time. They're speaking right now about, you know, getting their hands on some documents, and they'll be speaking later about witnesses and things like that. So today is very much the day to set the ground rules for the trial moving forward.
And Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell had said 24 hours for each side to initially present their cases. At first, that was going to be over a two-day span, so that's 12 hours a day. That's been changed now to three session days for those 24 hours, again, for each side. That initial plan, 12-hour days for 2 days for each side, got some criticism for kind of trying to pack too much in. What did you think of that initial proposal, Susan?
Yeah, there were two things that came out yesterday in the proposed rules for what was going to happen. And one of them was this idea that there would be just 24 hours, like you said, for each side over 2 days each. And the hearings convene at 1 p.m. Eastern. So at minimum, we'd be talking about going till 1 a.m., but likely quite past that on those days. And so that was one thing. And then the second thing that was in his resolution originally was that the materials and evidence that had been collected by the House would not automatically become part of the Senate trial. And so that was interesting to me as well, because people were saying, well, what's the basis then if the evidence that had been collected by the House does not just automatically kind of move over to the Senate? And then in the resolution that was introduced today by the Senate, penciled in or penned in were these changes, one of which was accepting the evidence from the House. And then secondly, it was changing the time limits or the duration from two 12-hour days per side to apparently three 8-hour days per side.
Now, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is in a unique role for a Senate Majority Leader. This doesn't come up very often. What do you see pushing and pulling on him in this initial rules process?
Well, it's interesting because he's managing the Senate, leading the Senate, and trying to make sure that he can keep his majority voting with him. He has 53 votes in the Senate, so he can't lose more than a couple on any given vote. So he's got that audience. And then he has the audience of the president, who's watching from afar, but watching, I would assume, with a keen eye and trying to direct things through his legal team. And then there's the public that's watching. So Mitch McConnell, I would say, is trying to balance all three of those. And, I mean, so far, I think, you know, throughout this process, he's done it. But now we'll see what happens as we start taking these votes.
Talking to Susan Johnson from UW-Whitewater about some of the latest steps in the impeachment process before the U.S. Senate. One big question is whether we'll hear about witnesses and when the idea of voting for witnesses might be voted on. Now, from the House, we had a Democrat, Adam Schiff, talking to the Senate today. Here is him talking about one particular witness that's getting a lot of attention, John Bolton.
He's willing to come and testify and tell you what he knows. The question is, do you want to hear it? Do you want to hear it? Do you want to hear from someone who was in the meetings, someone who described what the president did, this deal between Mulvaney and Sondland as a drug deal? Do you want to know why it was a drug deal? Do you want to ask him why it was a drug deal? Do you want to ask him why he repeatedly told people, go talk to the lawyers? You should want to know. They don't want you to know. They don't want you to know. The president doesn't want you to know. Can you really live up to the oath you've taken to be impartial and not know? I don't think you can.
A lot of the suspense here, Susan, is whether we'll hear from John Bolton, whether it'll be public testimony. If so, what is the latest on the process of how to decide whether he or other witnesses might come before the Senate?
Well, part of what we're hearing today and what I think we're going to be hearing later is that the Democrats are arguing that they want to have votes on whether or not to subpoena certain documents and then also have witnesses. And they want to include those as part of the organizing resolution. And what Majority Leader McConnell is saying is that we're not going to be dealing with those issues now, and we will address those issues down the road. And that was when he moved to table the prior amendment that they were debating. He did so by arguing that these issues should not be debated now, but they should be debated down the road. And that's the case he's making as far as whether or not there should be witnesses or not.
Bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. John is with us in Neenah. John, hi.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
Good. What did you want to bring up, John?
Yeah, that the President of the United States is an employee of the American people. Therefore, John Bolton is an employee of the American people, and he should be made to testify publicly.
John, thanks for the call. And when it was before the House, Susan, there was the question of executive privilege. The president had ordered a lot of people not to testify before the House. Could the same thing happen in the Senate, even if the Senate wants to hear from people like John Bolton?
The president could make a claim of executive privilege. One of the interesting debates that we've heard has to do with what exactly is executive privilege and how exactly can a president invoke it. And what's unique to the Trump administration is that there have been blanket assertions of executive privilege in ways that we've not seen necessarily in the past. And so with someone like John Bolton, for example, there certainly might be areas where the president has a legitimate claim of executive privilege, but historically, those are addressed more on a case-by-case basis as opposed to this idea of just kind of from afar saying, I'm invoking executive privilege and you can't even show up and be part of the proceeding. So that was part of the argument that was being made this morning by the president's lawyers as well in terms of arguing in favor of executive privilege.
We're talking to UW-Whitewater Associate Professor of Political Science Susan Johnson about the impeachment trial that got underway in the Senate today. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you listened to or watched the coverage for part of the day, all day? What have your impressions been? What do you think about the timeline that Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell proposed in his resolution? Do you want to see witnesses? Should there be more documents provided to the Senate? Should new information that's come out since the House impeachment process be part of the Senate process now? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about the impeachment trial of President Trump underway today in the Senate. Susan Johnson is with us, political scientist at UW-Whitewater. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about the process and what we know about it so far? What do you want to see happen? Do you want to see more witnesses come before the Senate that maybe didn't speak before the House for one reason or another? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll go back to your calls now. Rob is with us in Winona, Minnesota. Rob, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Rob?
Well, I think the Republicans have to walk a tightrope here. They need to keep Trump in office because, let's face it, if he's out, Mike Pence can't win the next election. However, the trial here can't look so much like a whitewash that it hampers them in the next election.
Rob, thanks a lot for the call. Susan, what do you think about that tightrope Rob is talking about there for Republicans?
Well, I mean, I think in particular, there's certain Republican members of the Senate who are running for re-election who are even walking a more narrow tightrope in that someone, for example, like Susan Collins of Maine, we've heard her named quite a bit, Cory Gardner in Colorado and others who are in what we consider to be more purple states, who have significant percentages of the population who might not even be in favor of removing him from office, but do want to see the trial appear as open and, you know, inclusive or fair as possible. And so I think they're especially walking a tightrope.
Rob, thanks a lot for the call at 800-642-1234. Gerald joins us next in Sturgeon Bay. Gerald, hello.
Hi. My quick question is this. If the president's being impeached for his pro quo thing, Joe Biden admitted that he did this. Now, why is we going to go through another impeachment right away if he gets elected? Or should he not be allowed to keep running for president?
Gerald, thanks for the call. Susan, you want to sort out what the president is accused of versus Joe Biden's pressure on Ukraine when it came to a prosecutor there?
As I understand it, Joe Biden's work was part of an international effort to have more investigations going on in regard to corruption in Ukraine. The president's is more specific to withholding aid, and the charges against the president are for obstructing Congress. And So there's a distinction there, and but I think another point that Gerald makes is an interesting one is, are we going to see more frequent impeachments moving forward? And I don't know the answer to that.
Gerald, thanks for the call. Another issue I wanted to get into, Susan, is information that's come out since the House process and since the House voted to impeach and whether or not it'll be included before the Senate. We have the letter from Rudy Giuliani in his capacity as the president's personal lawyer to the president of Ukraine, making it clear he's representing the president as a person, not as the leader of the United States. And then Lev Parnas, who is an associate of Giuliani, saying lots of stuff, really, and putting a lot of things out there. Is that going to end up being part of what the Senate considers here?
You know, it still remains to be seen. My hunch is that a lot of that will not become part of what the Senate sees. And I think a lot of those debates are going to happen after the opening statements. And once opening statements are complete, there can be, and there likely will be, a motion by some Republican in the Senate to have a vote to dismiss, and that might be the end of it. But I think that the Democrats are going to push really hard to get as much new material as possible, but the response from the Republicans to this point has been, why didn't you bring it up before, which isn't necessarily an honest argument because a lot of it's new, as you mentioned.
And let's talk about what could go on in the House. Some people have said if the Senate doesn't do things like talk to John Bolton or Lev Parnas, the House could try subpoenaing more people and have parallel hearings going on while the impeachment is going on. And, of course, that information would get to the senators, even if they're not talking to them directly. Do you think that's something that might be happening?
That's a really interesting question. And I've heard other people say that they could keep impeaching the president as well if the House wants to do that. I don't know that Speaker Pelosi has a lot of interest in continuing this, but absolutely, particularly if it ends without any witnesses and if it ends in a sort of a summary resolution to dismiss, I could see the House wanting to bring some of these people in to at least have more testimony to get this out there to the public in a more formal way. So Parnas, like you said, he's been interviewed all over, you know, news, but having him in front of the Senate and providing this information does air another level of formality to it that the House might want to see.
Let's bring on one more caller. Julie is with us in Appleton. Julie, hi.
Hello there. Thank you for taking my call. It's just a quick comment. Regardless if you're a Republican, a Democrat, an independent, or somewhere else along the spectrum, I just feel that it's imperative that this trial be an actual trial and the majority of Americans see it as an actual open trial and everything is looked at, because if it's not, the bar has been moved drastically for a future president as far as conduct in office and not being held responsible.
Interesting, Julie. Thanks a lot for the call. Susan, I think she's addressing the legitimacy of the Senate trial process. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, and I think that Julie's right in the sense that, as I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of people that just want to see the process appear as transparent and comprehensive as possible. And they might not all even favor removal, but the idea that this might somehow be swept under the rug or certain evidence not be shared is just seen as inappropriate. And therefore, they want to have things aired much more publicly and much more broadly.
Thanks for the call, Julie. On a side note, as we wrap up, Susan, some interesting rules in the Senate. No cell phones. They can't be looking at their phones and tweeting and things like that during this trial. And I believe I saw the only beverages allowed are milk and water on the Senate floor during this. This is a different kind of a special occasion for the U.S. Senate with some weird little rules thrown in.
It is, and I heard that Mitch McConnell was caught on a mic instructing the senators that when the Chief Justice enters, they are to rise. And it's very different and something that they're not used to. And I'm guessing a lot of them are chafing under the no computer, you know, no snacks rules. I know I probably would.
And in just a few moments, what is the next big decision you're really watching for, Susan, that could drop as early as tonight?
Well, I'm just watching for the vote on these additional amendments. And from what I understand, there's going to be an amendment introduced on witnesses, which we'll lose, and then we'll move forward. So there's not going to be any big wins for the Democrats, I don't think.
Susan, thanks for joining us. We can both enjoy a glass of milk and or water now.
Absolutely. Thanks.
That's Susan Johnson, Associate Professor of Political Science at UW-Whitewater, Director of UW-Whitewater's Center for Political Science and Public Policy Research. We talked to her today about the beginning of the Senate trial of Donald Trump today in the nation's capital. Tune in each afternoon at 4:30 on Central Time. We'll recap what's going on in the Senate impeachment trial. You can hear the live coverage of those proceedings, if you'd like, on WPR's News and Classical Music Network or online at WPR.org.